fighting for freedom every day.
They are absolutely desperate to pretend the last 4 years never happened and for them to go back to what they like to do before, which is create these massive spending bills to pretend that it's really, really important to you when you only get about 5% of what's in the bill, and they can't do it because we're aware of it. We're paying attention to it, and they don't like that.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Darn right, it's the Voice of Reason. It is a Friday, the day you've been looking forward to for the entire week. Hey, welcome into the program. I am Andy Hoosier. This is the Voice of Reason, broadcasting live out of the heart of the nation here in Wichita, Kansas, on our flagship radio station, multiple radio stations, multiple TV stations, live streaming, podcasting, wherever you may be watching or listening. Welcome aboard your millennial general reporting for duty like we do every single day. Try to ignore the voice today. Try to ignore it. We did not have a program yesterday. We had a best of running, which many of you, I'm sure, noticed. And it was because I was on the road traveling. I don't do this very often, but I stepped away for just a day in the afternoon. I drove about 3 hours for a concert. Yeah, I did, because I was that dedicated. And I tell you what, it was pretty awesome. So we'll recap that here in just a little bit. But getting into your weekend, we have a heck of a lot to get to today. Can you imagine now forcing kids into the COVID-19 vaccine? That's the point that we're at. And of course, that had to come down yesterday. Plus, we have some election recap stuff to get to. We have Eurotrash, author of the book Eurotrash, David Harsanyi. He's going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour, so get ready for that one. So a full slate today here on a Friday. Welcome aboard. Great to have you along for the ride today. I do want to touch on that. Plus, we have a jobs report that came out. The media's hyping up this jobs report as how it's so wonderful because so many jobs were added, and we should be very happy about that. At the same time, CNS News came out to report that the amount of people that are actually not in the workforce. So while the unemployment rate ticks down, is it because more people are going into the workforce, or is it because there's just not enough people that are actually looking for work or actually on the social programs and the unemployment to actually count for the unemployment rates? We'll get to all that and more here on a Friday. Welcome aboard. I do want to jump right into our guest, though, right off the bat, because as you know, on whatever day it was, Wednesday, we covered the election results from Tuesday. Major wins for Republicans across the board. We had the Virginia governor's race. We had the Virginia lieutenant governor's race. We have school boards and city council races all over the nation. It's quote unquote called in New Jersey, although I know the Republican is not conceding in that race because of some technical issues with some electronic voting machines. I know, shocker, right? But what does it all mean? And as we talked about on Wednesday, where do Democrats move forward now? They have a massive reconciliation bill that they're trying to ram through. They have a massive climate change initiative they're trying to ram through. They have massive spending that they're trying to ram through, massive social program expansions they're trying to ram through. And I think the message on Tuesday was that people aren't very happy with the direction we're going. Joe Biden, the president of the United States, with extremely low approval ratings right now, was on the campaign trail for the Democrat in Virginia and lost. Donald Trump did not campaign for the Republican in Virginia, and the Republican still won. And the only victory the media tried to claim on Wednesday was that it was because Donald Trump wasn't in the race, and therefore the Republican Party could start moving forward without the Donald Trump agenda, which I find hilarious. But what does it mean for the agenda of the Democrats, and what does it mean overall for the mindset of the vast population? Are we changing the tide here? Now, they try to say that Virginia is a stronghold for Democrats. I would like to contest that because obviously a Republican won. And if you remember just a year or so ago when they tried to come down on Second Amendment issues, the thousands of people that showed up at the Capitol in Virginia with their very large firearms to show support of the Second Amendment. It wasn't about race, because multiple races were there. It wasn't about partisanship, because Republicans and Democrats alike were there. It was strictly about the issues. Does this mean that Virginia voters and other major cities across the nation are voting strictly based on party partisanship, or are they voting on issues? And is that an opening for some conservatives and Republicans to get their opportunity to get into some of these city areas, spread some conservative news, and win some people over? To talk about that and more, really excited to have this guy back on the program as we get into our latest in What's Trending.
What's Trending today?
We've had him on the program before, and it's super exciting to have him back on the program. He is author of the book, What Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. Excited to have back on here with us, Matt Rosenberg. Matt, how are you, my friend?
Andy, I'm doing great. Good to be with you again.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the show. Elections, I mean, I think on the Republican side, they're pretty happy of what happened on Tuesday. The Democrats, do you think they're going to respond accordingly? I mean, they could go one of two ways. They could either let go of the gas pedal a little bit because they don't want to lose the midterms next year, or they're going to push it extra hard because they want to ram it through before they lose their majorities next year. What direction do you think they're going to go?
I think recent history indicates they're going to keep their foot on the pedal. Overreach is a real problem, but I think they're kind of tone deaf, and I think we even saw that as the election results were becoming clear in Virginia. You had pundits on the left and even party apparatchiks saying, well, then, you know, this just shows there's a racist strand in the Virginia electorate, which was certainly a stretch considering the complexion of a number of the top officials who got elected, the lieutenant governor and the attorney general. I hope there's a change. It would be for the betterment of the nation and our cities if Democrats actually got a clue. And there are some big clues out there looking at the fine grain of the election results in places like New York City, Minneapolis, and Seattle, to name just a few places I've been tracking.
Yeah. The change in dynamic politically, I mean, is it, as I kind of tease, is it partisanship driven? Just, oh, the Republicans turned out and the Democrats didn't. Is it ideologically driven? I mean, I know in Virginia, I think that the main focal point was the shot in the foot the Democrats did when they really went after the parents saying that they shouldn't have any say in the local schools and the school curriculum with the local school boards. I think that was the deal breaker there. But is it really just a partisan divide right now, or is it really issue driven on what the results looked like from Tuesday?
I think it's more issue driven. You know, we've got certain parts of the country that are settled into partisan patterns, right? The big blue cities generally tend to go very blue, and certain parts of rural America are solidly red. And once again, Virginia reminds us of the importance of suburban areas. I think issues are going to be really, really important going forward. Some say it might have been the economy in Virginia, not just what some people call critical race theory. And that's entirely possible. You know, joblessness, inflation, all of that stuff can make a swing electorate restless. But if you look at what happened in Minneapolis, for example, voters rejected a special referendum to essentially abolish the police department in favor of a social services-oriented new department. In Seattle, a Republican got elected as city attorney against a sort of stridently pro-criminal candidate who more or less wanted to abolish the office. So even my other hometown of Seattle has its limits. There, too, a pro-business centrist Democrat won election as mayor over a very radical leftist who's on the city council. And then in New York, of course, Eric Adams is now the mayor. You know, the kind of Democrat you would want to see running New York, pro-police, pro-school choice. So there's some really interesting things shaking out. I think right now it's more issues.
Yeah. I agree, and it's shocking, but it's not shocking, and it's encouraging all at the same time. I saw some video today of New York City where a lot of individuals are actually throwing their trash over the fence into Bill de Blasio's yard because there's such a shortage of employees right now of people picking up trash because of the vaccine mandates. I think that the social experiment of the large cities of the massive left-wing progressive agenda that's been running it for years, for 50, 60, 70 years, I think that agenda is starting to burst, that bubble's starting to pop for some, and they're realizing that the ones that they put in power for so long wanting to fix the issues are starting to realize that the issues aren't actually being fixed, and maybe they're starting to wake up.
I think that's happening. You reach a breaking point, an inflection point, and I think we could very well be there. Even San Francisco. February 15th, there's going to be a recall election of three school board members because in the last year, while local schools were busy keeping students out of the classroom, the school board embarked on a project to to basically tear down up to 44 statues. And that outraged many parents, even in, you know, uber progressive San Francisco. Then on top of that, in shades of de Blasio in New York, they eliminated merit entrance exams to the premier high school in the whole city, kind of an AP high school called Lowell High School. And I know of the place. We have friends whose kids went there. And it's an outstanding school. But the problem was there were too many Asians getting in, you know, that inconvenient minority. And it's just this kind of thinking. You know, in the labeling of Asians by white progressives as white adjacent, think about it. They're not a real minority. It's just that kind of mindset that is starting to turn people off. So people are turning back to the notion of solid, insane governance, grown-up supervision of municipal, state, and federal affairs. And my goodness, look at what's going on in Congress now, and just look at that spending bill they're still haggling over. You would think they would get a clue, and that these pieces, these grains of sand, you know, these insights and knowledge that they should be drawing from Virginia, from New Jersey, from San Francisco, Minneapolis, Seattle, New York City, you'd think these guys would actually get a clue. But there's no evidence that they're going to.
Yeah, no, you think they would get a clue. That you think that they would wake up. I mean, when their first response to a Republican winning Virginia is racism, when a black veteran woman won the lieutenant governorship there in Virginia, and that's your play. When I don't even know how it's racist because the Democrat was white as well, so I'm not sure where the racist card plays in there. I mean, do you think inner cities and inner communities and people that don't necessarily hear this type of agenda or ideology, are they starting to walk away from the identity politics? I mean, I think politics is getting back to the local level for the school boards, the city council, the county commission, to where we can start changing our community locally. But do you think that maybe the whole identity politics has been played a little too far?
I think it has. And when I went deep into the South Side to research my book, I heard that from black people on the South Side of Chicago. You know, I talked to a pastor who's, you know, running job training programs, training recently 18 black female electricians who got certified. Corey Brooks at New Beginnings Church trying to raise $25 million for an expanded community and job training center for auto mechanics, hospitality workers. He's just going, and his constituency, his parish, they're just going right at the stuff that matters. You know, career training. I talked to a homeschooling entrepreneur, a Christian homeschooler named Latasha Fields, who has four children. And she's doing the exact same thing. They're fed up with the public schools. And rather than listen to a lot of malarkey at school board meetings, they're just doing it themselves. Homeschooling has gone up dramatically in the wake of COVID, and minority communities have been at the forefront of that. So I think people are just sidestepping a lot of the old tired debate and taking matters into their own hands. So will that translate into local electoral success? That, I think, is the crucial challenge. And in places like Chicago, it's still not clear that it will. And we really need to get to that next level.
Well, it's a work in progress. And I think we have an opportunity here. But I think the movement has begun. The spark has been lit. And I think the agenda from COVID of trying to use their power to abuse and take advantage has backfired, because I think people are waking up. We're out of time, my friend. Chicago Schooled, SKOOLED.com is the website. Chicago Schooled, the book, What Next Chicago? Matt, it's great to talk to you, my friend. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely, Andy. It was a pleasure.
Hey, appreciate it.
Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, it's Andy Hoosier with the Voice of Reason. Fighting for conservative principles seems more difficult all the time. The progressive left seems to find new and creative ways to limit freedom, abuse power, and trample the Constitution each and every day. That's why we need the knowledge, resources, and common sense to push back. And we can help with that. Visit our website at HoosierReason.com. There's some really great stuff for you. You can read the latest blog discussing topical issues and current events. Let us know your thoughts by filling out our monthly survey. Keep track of what I might be doing or where I may be speaking. Listen to the podcast of your favorite guest or show, and check out our latest Voice of Reason product infomercials. Plus, you can find upcoming show schedules and guest lineups to plan your radio listening appropriately. And finally, make sure to become a Hoosier-holic by subscribing to the free newsletter. Stay up to date on the latest news of the show, fun facts of the month, and learn new ways to defend and preserve this great republic. It's all there at HoosierReason.com. Again, HoosierReason.com. Go check it out. Why? Because it's kind of the reasonable thing to do. Hey, it's Andy Hoosier. Want to reach out to the show? A big part of the program is you, and we want to hear from you. Let us know your thoughts of the show, maybe a guest we've had on the program, or my favorite, when you disagree with something that I talk about. You can email me at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com or send us a message through our website at HoosierReason.com. The show's not about me, it's about you. So be heard and be your own voice of reason. Again, email me at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com or find our contact information at HoosierReason.com. Miss part of the show? Don't worry about it. There's plenty of ways to catch the program, and here's how you can do it. First, make sure to tune in every day right here on your favorite radio station.
We're here for you.
Second, subscribe to the podcast on any of your favorite sites. YouTube and iTunes, Spotify and Google Play, TuneIn, Podbean, and more. Have the show automatically downloaded to your favorite device. Last, visit our website at HoosierReason.com. You can listen to the podcast, catch our special features, and more. It's the voice of reason on radio, TV, and online, helping you defend and preserve this great republic.